Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast. This is a podcast for those who are interested in IT experience management in large enterprises. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system to provide services to employees, then this is for you. Brought to you by Happy Signals. More smiles, less time wasted. Hey, welcome to this episode of the IT Experience Management Podcast. So today I'm joined by Neil Keating from BrightHorse. And the topic that has been really kind of present in the couple of discussions lately has been experience management office. And I know I kind of saw a post from Neil in LinkedIn talking about XMOs. So I thought, why don't I just call you up and have a short chat that what they are, why do we need one, who are in them, and kind of how does it really work?
Sure.
Hey, yeah. Welcome, Neil. Happy to have you back again.
Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah. So let's get to it. So what is an experience management office and really what's the purpose of it?
Well, I guess we call them the XMO, stands for Experience Management Office. I know some other organizations that we've worked with do rename it to, something like Proactive Experience Center or something like that. Perhaps it's a little bit more a sexy title or something. But essentially, they're all the same thing. It's really the group of people sitting behind your experience metrics, sitting behind your XLAs. So you need to have some people who are creating, updating, managing the XLAs, looking at the data, and understanding really what that data is telling you. If you haven't got people doing that, then there's a real danger that the XLAs and the experience metrics become shelfware. They can be beautifully designed, but if no one's looking at them and managing them and trying to understand what that data is telling you, then it's just going to become an overblown reporting function more than anything else. So I guess a mission of an XMO is to manage the measures. So, managing the sentiment data, managing any operational and technical data that might also impact experience, reviewing that data, and then governing how well you're doing with experience, I guess. They're the three things we see time and time again with an XMO.
Because many times we see that there's a champion in the organization. Mm. And when they maybe change a role or they leave the company, it kind of, there's not really like a proper ownership. Do you see that this a little bit solves that problem, that you spread the ownership to a group of people rather than just having that?
Well, I think the answer to that is yes. But there's actually two things, I think. I've worked with lots of companies building XMOs up, and they can become quite big. I mean, there's a lot of roles you need to do. If you think about all the things that need to happen, you've got to have lots of skill sets in there. They don't all sit in the XMO necessarily full time. You can be part time. I've seen XMOs that really run on a virtual basis, and they've been very, very successful. I've recently did an XLA project for a UK police force, and their XMO just runs virtually. They meet weekly. And then they physically meet on a monthly basis, talking about experience and what they can do and how they improve. And they've done some really interesting things. And then I've seen XMOs that have lots of people in them. I think the key thing is you do need an owner or owners, because if you don't have that, then it doesn't seem to go very far. And I recall one project I did for, it was a large organization, and we designed the XMO, we designed the XLAs, and it was all ready to go. Mm. But they didn't have any leader taking it forward at all whatsoever. And it didn't do anything for, I'm going to say, about 8 months. It just sort of sat there and didn't really do a lot. Yeah. And eventually, once they put a leader in, then suddenly it took off and went. And, the XMOs are now doing good things.
Okay.
So you definitely need a leader, if not more leaders, more people, because then things will go. Without that, it's just going to, sit on the shelf and not do a lot.
Yeah. Who do you see as a very good candidate for a leader for an XMO? Like, what kind of skills, what background?
So it's an interesting one. The people we see going into experience management offices are typically the people that are independent from the services. So it's very difficult to govern experience and also deliver experience, if you see what I mean. If you're delivering the services, you can't also govern it in that way too. So we would see more people coming in from perhaps people like traditional methods, like service management offices, service managers sort of come in. And I can see why. There's a correlation between skill sets and a correlation between the fact that they're independent from services already. So we see that coming in from that quite a lot. they do change the name. It's a different lens. It's not the same role. So they do have to learn and be educated really about experience. What we're seeing a lot more of now, though, is more experience roles coming into place in organizations. So we're seeing a lot more chief experience officers. Mm-hmm. You must see this as well, Patsy. Yeah. We see a lot of head of experience, head of user experience, head of colleague experience, a lot more CXOs. I think that's a great thing. And those people are coming in from sometimes very different areas. Sometimes they come across from CX groups. Sometimes they're coming from a different area in the business, completely outside of IT in some respects. And I think that is quite a good thing. I guess the people you need in there, though, you're going to need some people who are good at sentiment and understanding what people feel and why they might feel that way and those sort of roles. You possibly, depending on how your XLOs are going to be set up, you might need some technical people in there as well to understand, not just what people feel, but why they feel that way and how you can improve experience on that basis too. So I think the CXO roles are really exciting now, and we're seeing more and more of those coming into organizations.
True. So if we then go a little bit further about its operations, so who is XMO usually reporting to? Who are they
Well, so I see two tracks here. I've seen a lot of organizations do experience from an HR perspective. So a lot of people are have an experience office that sits in with HR somewhere or in that sort of area. And that's a wider perspective. I mean, they're thinking things more like, are we paying people well enough? Have you got the right objectives? As well as how well is IT supporting you? And are you enabled to do your job through IT?
Yeah.
And then there's the IT track. And the IT track is very specifically sitting within the IT department. And I think maybe in the future, 3-5 years, they might collide and come together. The majority of work that we do, we're in the IT side. We see XMOs reporting into IT. Typically reporting into a head of IT, CIO, IT director. They're normally quite elevated. And I think if you're going to take XMO quite seriously, not because structurally, it should be very high up, but if you're going to show the business that you're taking experience quite seriously, then I think that they should report in a fairly senior position in the organization. Yeah. So we see them into those, sometimes a CXO, but the CXO would probably report into the IT director. Yeah. So IT director, CIO, head of IT is where where the functions we see it going to mostly.
Then maybe that actually leads to my next question, is how does it relate to existing governance structures? And if you think about this, you mentioned weekly things, monthly things, so this operational, tactical, strategic, what are kind of the weekly operational things that XMO does? How does it relate to other things? What about the tactical and strategic? I think the operational is very easy for IT. Yeah. Probably IT teams and IT people to understand that, we do these operational weekly things. But what about the tactical and strategic? How do they relate to other governance structures that the organization might have? It might not be an easy question, but...
No, well, multifaceted
things.
But I guess what we see is from a traditional governance structures, IT are used to doing that. So they're used to maybe on a monthly basis, weekly basis, gathering statistics. Generally, that's based on time. Generally, that's based on quality or SLAs, KPIs. We kept the server up. We answered the phone in 3 rings. We responded to a ticket in an hour and the project was on time and it was on budget or something like that. That's kind of the traditional kind of governance that we see with IT.
Yeah.
Where I think that XMO has a different lens is that experience is cumulative. So it's not just about, have to look at it on a monthly basis. SLAs and KPIs are typically measured on a monthly basis, and then they're kind of forgotten about and we've moved on to the next month. Experience is cumulative. So we're building it up over time. So you need to view and govern experience, not just on a monthly basis. We shouldn't panic just because, October's bad or something has happened in October. We need to view it over a period of time. Is experience going up? Is experience going down? Is experience staying the same over that time? It's that trajectory that's important. And that has changed from a strategic point of view. People's view of experience is not just in the monthly snapshots we see happening today. What's changing? We still have to do some of those monthly snapshots. They're important. But we're now seeing sort of the XMO governance say, okay, well, we'll review this every quarter and see whether the line's going up, it's going down, or it's staying the same, because that's the important thing. Yeah. From an operational and tactical point of view, The XMO has tasks to do all the time. So we're, so for example, you know, at some point, and it, this does depend on whether you've, what structure you've got around you, whether you, what resources you've got, what tools you've got, because the XMO needs to somehow, if you haven't got a tool like Happy Signals, for example, you might have to send out surveys. You're going to have to work out what day of the week that survey should go out, what time of the day that survey should go out, who that survey is going out to. You've probably got other measures, some impacting SLAs, KPIs, and some technical data. You've got to bring that data points together on a weekly basis to understand this is the sentiment we've gathered in October, and this is also the other measures we gathered in the same time period.
Yeah.
That's got to be put on a dashboard, and someone's got to view it and see it. So there's tasks every single day that, that the experience office needs to really run with. And fundamentally, what on a monthly basis we say to XMO leaders, you should ask two questions. Number one is, so what? So what? We've got some data. We can see that we've done a survey. We can see we've got, we've missed some SLAs and KPIs, and we can see the technical data is telling us these things. So what? What is that telling us? Is that telling us something we can correlate? Is that telling us something we didn't know? Can we work out that people feel that way, and this is why they're feeling that way? Therefore, we've got a conclusion to something. So what? What is this telling us? Is it telling us something we didn't know? And if it is it important? And if it is important, the next question is, what now? What are you going to do about that? And you should do that on a monthly basis as well. What do we do? October is, experience has gone down a bit. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do about that? Are we going to change something? Are we going to run a project? Are we going to just wait and see what happens in November because we think it was related to the systems going down in October? What is it you're going to do? And sometimes doing nothing, you know, is all you can do. You don't have budget and resources to do everything. So sometimes you might have to go back and set expectations. You know, you said you didn't like this application, this area of the IT services we're delivering. You said you didn't like maybe, I don't know, the new time recording system or the new holiday application.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that. We need to reset expectations. So the so what now gets asked on a monthly basis. On a weekly basis, it's looking at stats, it's looking at the data points, making sure those data points come together. But the governance, the strategic element of experience management, although we're measuring it on a monthly basis, we should be governing it on perhaps a quarterly or 6-monthly basis, because that's showing the line. Are we improving things or are we declining things? And I think that's the that's where this has changed. I think, you know, what we've learned in traditional measures is that SLAs, KPIs, servers up, server down, technical data, is all relevant, but it's not measuring experience. So the only way you can measure experience is asking people how they feel. Yeah. And that's simple.
Hey, I love it. It's very practical approach to it. So maybe getting then to the practical approaches. So now if somebody's listening or has been thinking, hey, yeah, we need to get started with XMO, any tips, suggestions, how to get started? How long does it take? Maybe what not to do? You've seen good and bad examples, so.
The first thing I'd say is that you probably, any organization really wants to go forward with an XMO, you probably need to go and educate yourself really what an XMO does. So, you know, I'm going to say this, come on one of our courses or something like that.
Go ahead.
But you really do need to, I would recommend at the very least, people do educate themselves on all the tasks that an XMO does. Then it's about how you're going to apply that to your organization. And in order to apply it, really what you've got to do is you've got to understand, well, you know, what tools have you got in place already? Because if you've got a tool like, you know, Happy Signals, then actually there are tasks you don't need to do because that the tool's going to do it for you. It's going to automate it. It's going to make your life a lot easier. But if you haven't got that, you might have to repurpose something. Mm. What resources have you got around you? Who in the business is a supporter of this that you could ask questions of? Maybe you could get them involved for even a day a week, a day a month, or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
So you've got to work out, I think, exactly what your mission, what your scope of an XMO is going to be. And remember, I guess the mission we always say to people is, the first mission is you're going to measure, you're going to manage all the measures. So you're going to manage the sentiment, you're going to manage any operational data and technical data that might impact experience. But for you, if you're setting off, where does that data come from? Who owns it? Where does it reside? How can you get hold of that data? Can someone in the business send it to you in an Excel form that you could easily put into an Excel spreadsheet and look at all the data points together? Yeah. Then you've got to work out, once I've got those data points together, is who is going to look at that? And is it going to be me? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be someone else? And who's going to look at that on a weekly basis and work out someone's got an experience problem, or we have an experience problem generally in the business? The key thing in my mind is to write all that down. So when you're starting out in an XMO, work out, you know, what resources you've got around you, who's going to do what, when they're going to do it, how often they're going to do it, so you can work out who's going to do those things, and then write all that down on a bit of paper. What most people don't do is design it and literally write it down, draw it out, and then it becomes lost. I've worked in organizations, certainly large MSPs and large corporates with bigger budgets, and it's taken them a long time to get an XMO off the ground because they haven't got the right leader in place. Yeah. And we talked about that a few moments ago.
Yeah.
I've worked in a lot smaller organizations, government bodies, NHS, and people like that, who don't have big budgets, and they've had a much faster return on investment. And the reason is they found somebody in the organization who is A, interested in experience, B, really wants to do it, and C, they've managed to give them time to do some things. It doesn't have to be a full-time role, but at least a part-time role. And the moment you've found that person, then they will collate all the, you know, they'll do the design, they'll start collating things together, they'll start working out where the experience returns will be. And that's where it really, really takes off very, very fast. So that's what I would suggest to do. Work out the mission for your company based upon resources, budgets, constraints, tools around you, but then find somebody who is really interested and has time to actually physically go off and do something. Yeah. Without that, you know, it's just going to end up as an overblown reporting center somewhere in the business and not going to be too successful for you.
Yeah. Sounds really good. Hey, if somebody wants to find any good resources from yourself, for example, any good tips where to go and read more?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, if anyone's thinking of setting up an XMO, wants help in education on XMO, lots of stuff is all on our website. We've got video content there. We've got blogs on there. But we also run an education class, Mastering the XMO. So please sign up for that if you want to do that.
Hey, what about that training? Would you recommend that if you have few people, that they would all come together for that training so that they can get the consensus from day one? Because I see that otherwise, if you just the one person goes there and tries to explain everybody else what did I learn, how do you see that?
Yeah, I would, as much as you possibly can. So we offer organizations actually a free webinar. Yeah. And we do that because what you really need to do, if you're thinking about experience and you're really trying to build experience metrics, then you need to get experience far and wide. So we give people a free webinar just about XMO, about what XLAs are, what experience is, and how you can measure it. Because the more and more people you can take on the journey, the better it's going to be for you. So definitely go far and wide. And then get 3 or 4 or 5 people, as much as you can, on a Mastering an XMO class. Mm. And that will teach you the processes, the procedures, what you need to do, what roles you need to put in place. And I think that will help you go forward as well.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, thank you so much. And I would add one more thing. So go and follow Neil in LinkedIn, because I said, I kind of saw your LinkedIn post and a video post that kind of got me, okay, I need to talk to Neil. So yeah.
Brilliant. Well, hey, thank you, Pasi. That's great.
Thank you so much for joining. This was really insightful for myself and hopefully for the listeners as well. And as we usually say, so stay safe and stay happy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
If you like this episode, giving the podcast a review helps others find this content as well. You can also visit our YouTube channel or our learning center at happysignals.com for some more video content. Join hundreds of like-minded IT professionals who have passed the free ITXM certification course on itxm.academy.